Hey, this is David Tobin from Audio Jack, and you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
All right, Mike just told me to start the show. He'll be with us shortly. So hello, welcome to Verbal Shenanigans. I am Scott. Mike is away on busy, important work at the moment. He'll be joining us with information that we, right before the show, were trying to find out. Mike, are you there?
Scott, I'm back from my TARDIS research into the questions we were having before the podcast. I guess we should start by letting the people in on our conversation beforehand.
Right. So what we use generally to talk to each other is Google Hangouts. And I know pretty much no one really uses that, but we use it, one, because we've just been using it for a couple years now, and it's just kind of like, all right. And there's no time limit. There's no nothing. It hasn't really ever crashed on us too much. And the most important part is it's free. So...
Absolutely.
Where we have Zoom, we're pretty cheap. We don't pay for a subscription plan. So our interviews can sometimes be two-parters because we run out of the free time limit. But hey, if anybody wants to sponsor us out there, we'll use your platform. Just let us know. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
If you have two tin cans with a string, you pay us money. We'll figure out how to do it from Jersey to Georgia.
It's a long string. That never worked.
Well, I mean, that'd be the selling point. No matter where you are in the world, we got a string long enough and two shiny cans.
I remember trying the string in the can thing when I was a kid and never heard a thing on the other end.
No, it was like mumbled and like always somebody like, I heard them. And here, what? Yeah. I hear echoes. Yeah.
There's no way. But then we get into the question... We started to talk about, Mike brought up, man, it would be a racket if all of a sudden Google changed, like, okay, you got to spend a couple bucks to use Google. And then I said, man, imagine they had a monthly service all of a sudden and $9.99 a month, like Disney Plus and Prime and all. Mm-hmm. Sorry, choking on Google. How do I clear my throat?
I can't afford $9.99.
I'm dead.
I'm dying.
And I said we'd probably I think people would end up spending it, like if it was $9.99 or $15. You're so conditioned to go to Google for everything, it would just be the turning point. I'd be like, everybody like, well, you got to pay your Google every month. And then we'd start talking about, well, people go to the offshoots, like maybe use Yahoo again and Bing and Ask Jeeves. And I asked Mike, does Ask Jeeves still exist? And Mike, the answer is
It's now ask.com. Jeeves is no longer associated with the site.
I never even put that together, and I've seen ask.com. All right, so Jeeves quit the business.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they probably had a model for the Jeeves butler.
Right.
And they're like, man, we're sending him royalties every month because of our website. You know, it's probably some British dude sitting back, raking in those checks and all, bragging to his friends, you know, I'm the Jeeves from Ask Jeeves.
Right.
But they eventually went, yeah, we got new ownership, Jeeves Donaldson. And we're going in a different direction. We're sorry. We're going to have to drop you.
This just in, though, do you remember Dogpile? That was one. That is
Dogpile. I do not recall that. No.
Apparently, you might like it, Mike. It's a dog. there's a dog in the cover, and instead of search, it says go fetch. And it says web, image, video. Let's look up. Let's type in verbal shenanigans.
Well, I went on there, and all it is like, instead of the O, it's a paw. I mean, that's not exciting me.
Well, I mean, Verbal Shenanigans pops up on it, so it's not a completely useless site. How much traffic do you think Dogpile gets per day? Are we talking like in the hundreds of people per day?
I can't fathom. And like, I kind of question. You think there's some dude in IT is like, oh my God, somebody's on there. Guys, I told you it would pay off.
Do you remember Angel Fire? That was like what you used to make websites. You'd be like, Angel Fire. And then every page had like the visitor count, like how many visitors visited the page and the like earth that rotated. I remember when I first got the internet, I would just use it to look up pictures of bands. Like I'd be like, oh, 311. And I'd take, and then I would print the pictures and cut the pictures out on, and put them on my wall.
Was your wall was just covered with crappy, like, did you have at least a good printer, or did you have like a dot matrix printer that printed out 311?
Every printer I've ever had is a piece of shit.
I don't think anybody has ever had a good printer outside of going to work. That's why everybody prints. Hey, you going in? Can you get print out? I need my prescription. I need the directions for here. I need this.
Yeah. Every printer I've ever had, I basically keep it until I got to replace the ink, and then I get a new printer like 2 years later. Because buying ink is a disaster. So, and then installing printers always seems to be a nightmare too.
As part of like IT, when we had like people go home, you don't know like the. I've literally spent like 4 hours working with a person on setting up their printer. And it's the most nightmarish thing because the obvious reason you're in your home, they're in your home, and you're like trying to tell them, is this going on? What's that? Yeah. It's the light over here. I see a green light, turn it off, and now it's not working. That's the power button. Yeah. That's not the light I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Printers have always been a nightmare. Isn't it funny? Like, I remember when AOL came out, like, going in a chat room was like a normal thing. Now, if I went into a chat room, I would be an absolute creep.
Oh, you would instantly be on an FBI list if you go into a chat room any age over, I'll say, 15.
Right. So why was it, like, acceptable years ago for, like, kids my age? I was probably 7th grade, 6th grade, 8th grade, somewhere around that time when I first got the internet and going in chat rooms and just looking at people's nonsense, you know?
I think I recall I used to go into the sports chat rooms. I went into
What you called it.
Yeah, the comedy chat rooms where once in a while there'd be like a contest to get like a certain amount of hours of free AOL handed out, which I won a couple of times, but sometimes it was just like BS after I seen the bill.
How did you win it with your witty humor? You won hours?
I mean, it would be different stuff. I'm trying to even remember some of the things I like even talk about. It would just be like random things and all. What would this say in this scenario? Just kind of like it would just change the name of it. It would be like the same game. It's just like, just whoever got the best punchline.
Wow. So that's where your comedy career really started peaking into in the AOL chat room.
Scott, I don't want to brag, but, you know, I'm kind of like the Rodney Dangerfield. I'm kind of like the Dave Chappelle of the AOL chat rooms at this time right now. My career has been booming. I've had so many free hours of AOL now. I can't even keep up with it. And I'm trying to trade it in for cash. I'm having troubles getting to their support to figure out how much value I have in these free hours.
If anybody would like to purchase hours from AOL, please email Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. We're selling like 100 hours for $5. It's flying off the shelf.
We're running it out. It's a crazy, amazing deals. We'll send you the CD in the mail. And you just plop it into your computer, because if you're still on AOL, you've got a CD drive.
Do you remember like getting punted on AOL? Like a message would come up and be like, bloo, bloo, and like some crazy thing would pop up and and be like, goodbye. And you'd be like, no. I had a friend.
What the hell?
I had a nerdy friend who made those. Like he made punters and would punt people like from his computer. And he'd be like get into people's computers and like turn their screen upside down from like his computer. Yeah. Yeah. He's a real classy guy.
Yeah, I feel that man went on to be like the CEO of some company, and still
definitely
he has like a big stogie in his hand, bragging about the times he ruined somebody's life in AOL back in 89.
Now, I do see that AOL is still a thing. Like, I've come across people, I'll be like, give me your email, and it'll be like, Mike@AOL.com. I'm like, really? Really? You didn't upgrade to Gmail? Or even now when I see a Yahoo mail, I'm like, who uses Yahoo? Like, the only thing I use Yahoo for is fantasy football. That's the only thing I use Yahoo for.
I think I still have a Yahoo email account, and that's probably like, if I sign up for something and I really don't want emails from these people, I give them that.
Yeah.
But I can't remember even the last time I've done that.
Or Hotmail.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a bunch. So, yeah. As we reminisce down memory, like, remember you had to like download a picture and it would be like loading a picture for like 5 minutes and just kind of like scrolling down until you got like one JPEG.
Oh yeah. It would be, you would start the process and be like, well, I got about 20 minutes. I guess I'll go make a sandwich.
Yeah. I remember my friend did not have internet, and I had internet. And this was at the time when you first looked at any kind of nude picture or even like a hot picture. I believe at the time was like we were into wrestling in 6th, 7th grade. And I think, what was her name? Blonde woman.
Sunny.
No.
Sable?
Yes, that was it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I'd like print pictures out, and he would like come over my house and like take them and like borrow the pictures. Like, I mean, he never
borrowed.
He never
gave back. Do you really want those pictures back after he does what he does?
Yeah, I don't think I ever got them back, thankfully.
Do you stick it up next to your 311 photos that you printed out?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
Is that
yeah.
what you did, Scott?
Yeah, well, you know, my room was eclectic. I was a man of the people.
Yeah, and if I do recall those, it's like they would always be like, oh, I got this nude picture. I'll trade you if you got this nude picture. And it was always like the worst crop job on the planet.
Right.
You know, like the head would be like 3 times bigger than the neck, where you'd like, that is not Jennifer Aniston. I'm sorry.
So you were out there just winning comedy contests, trading nudes. You were just
I was a wheeler and dealer, baby, man. Berlew on AOL. He was an animal. Can't tell you.
A master of the underground. Like,
what's up?
You were a master of the dirty underground of AOL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like people would set up alerts. It's like, oh, Beavis Berlew is online. Yes.
Was that your screen name?
BVS Berlew at AOL.com.
I was Lord Punk number one, of course. And then I was Liquid Slap Bass at one time. To one point now where my credit card is my one credit card to sign in is still Liquid Slap Bass, and I just like, I'm not gonna change it.
I'm gonna have those people know what kind of talent I am
until after I put this episode and someone hacks into my credit card. And we had a recent sign-in in Wyoming from Liquid Slap Bass.
My Diners Club card. No.
Yeah. And then I guess the advent after that was like the AIM messaging system, where you just kind of had an away message. Like in college, that was a big thing. You just you had your away message on. You'd be like, oh, at class, and then maybe put a quote up, or maybe like a smiley face, or who's looking to hang out tonight? ? You know, and then you come back to your room, see if you got any responses.
It's always no, and then you're like, I'm still cool.
And they're like, back to the chat rooms, you know.
Just for that, I'm going to make myself busy on my AIM, and people are going to think I'm out partying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You ever think, like, how long you can go, like, cold turkey with no internet, no phone, no tech? Like, I think it would be really hard for like 3 days, but I feel like if you got to like the week mark or maybe the 2 week mark, I feel like it would be very refreshing.
I mean, I did a cruise and like all the all the cell companies just want to like drag you through the rocks when it comes to like, oh, international, that's only going to cost you $100 for the week. So
yeah,
I went, when I went on a cruise, I went 4 days without internet or anything like that. I didn't blink an eye.
Yeah, vacation. I mean, vacation's nice. Like even like when I went on vacation this year, I would say my phone time probably decreased by 90%. You know, like it was basically like wake up, you know, use the toilet, look around a little bit, maybe before bed, look around a little bit, and then like during the day, didn't touch it. But I would love to kind of shut it down for a month and just see if I can do it, or like go to a flip phone for like a month, so it's just a phone. Ooh. You know, just a phone. Like
get the one of those old school Motorola Razors. I had one of those. Those were slick, man.
I had the Nokia that lasted, you know, forever, that everybody had, where you had Snake on it. I think it would be harder. I think I'd be fine without like social media. I think it would be hard having no text messaging might be hard, because I don't call anybody anymore really too often.
That would be scary that people are like, well, since you don't have text, I'll call you. It'd be like, ew,
like
no,
I'm not taking time out of my day to talk to you.
Am I hearing a voice and you're not in the room? What?
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
That's kind of sad, right? Isn't that like a sad sign of like what we're becoming? We're just becoming like more and more and more and more isolated into our own little bubbles, you know, like where you don't really need to leave the house ever again if you don't want to.
I'm sure some people, I mean, when 2020 hit, that they're like, yes, this is my life now, and
yeah,
they're never going to change. But yeah, it's kind of rough, because I even like tell the wife, there's like certain people, I get aggravated sometimes, because once in a there's some friends I got, I'm like, I'm going to text them, just see how they're doing. And then instantly it's just like, good, how are you? Where they're almost like, you tell me everything about you, and I'm staying secluded, where it's almost like, well, why did you think I texted you? I wanted to hear something about you. I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't text you to go listen to me.
Well, think about it. Let's see. What do you have to leave the house for anymore?
I mean, technically vacation, but I don't.
You could exercise at home. You could order food at home. You could watch TV at home. You could communicate with people from home. You could order food from the food store now. You could have liquor dropped off at your house. Like, I'm not quite sure what you need. Like, if you didn't want to, being a hermit probably isn't too bad in 2021.
I guess the only technical answer would be pot. You have to physically go to a store in a state that's legal to do that. There's no shipping of marijuana. I mean, I'm sure eventually that will change. But
I believe in some states they have trucks that deliver marijuana. Like ice cream trucks. Yeah. I think I've even seen one before in New York, I think.
It sounds like a weird spinoff of Ice Road Truckers on Discovery Channel.
Pot
smoke. Coming to Discovery. Pot truckers.
Pot smoke truckers. there's no reason really to leave the house. And I think that's what's probably made people so terrible now. Because they can just get behind that keyboard and just go all day and do whatever they want. Say whatever they want. Yeah. Troll whoever they want. You could work from home now. You don't have to be in the office. Like, for most jobs, you know? So, that's kind of sad.
Maybe that's the reason why my second arrow blew up on me that one time.
Right.
my big enemy, who's a bowling ball reviewer in Michigan, for those who are wondering.
Has there been any contact with your bowling ball arch nemesis?
There's been no contact since the initial one. I occasionally like to go to his page just to see, and it's like, oh, you're reviewing a different ball this time.
I
wonder if it spins second arrow.
I think this guy lives in your head, though. He somehow poked a nerve with a very sharp point, and it still hurts a little bit. It still stings.
When it
you.
Happened, it was kind of like, what the? Like I said, it was more the, why are we arguing over this kind of moment versus like, I hate you or anything like that.
Right.
But, I guess bowling, you have to go outside. Second arrow can't do his bowling inside. I'm sure he would like to do his bowling ball reviews in his basement by himself.
That's
true. Throwing it at the wall. But no, he he goes out and records secondary leagues like he is a secondary human being. He's as ugly as the shoes he wears.
God, the trash. You hear that second arrow? Mike has not let this go. He's he's actually stoking the fire again.
Yeah. I can forget, but I don't forget, Scott. I'm waiting for him to make his next move. I did comment on a different wrestling video where I'm kind of like, I wonder, does he have an alert where just like, what?
I feel like you're trolling for a troll. You're waiting to try to get him back. You're waiting for a second confrontation.
I would be intrigued if a second confrontation. I literally that was like my first comment since that comment on a totally different video. But if he shows up again, then it's like, all right, now it's on.
Yeah. Now, I can't wait to like, you know, all the stuff. Nice bowling ball videos, loser. Like you might know more about this guy than he remembers about himself.
Yeah, you will be doing this podcast and you'll be like, Burley, you in Michigan? I don't want to comment right now.
Why are you in a Wolverines jersey?
I don't want to really talk. If you hear about any kind of riots at a bowling alley, I wasn't there.
Yeah, we are we are very close to tech just completely taking over our lives, minute by minute, slowly dwindling away. But let's brighten the mood a little bit. Let's brighten the mood. I feel like here's a guy coming up that kind of paved his own way with technology, I guess, if you will, when he was a kid. And so I kind of explained that in a second. So we have a guy by the name of Eric Zala coming on the show. And I had watched a documentary. It's called Raiders. The official title is what? I don't have it up right now.
It's always good to mention the name of the documentary when you're promoting the person.
Yeah, Raiders: The Story of the Greatest Fan Film Ever Made. And basically, the story is about these three childhood friends. They try to create a shot-by-shot version of Raiders of the Lost Ark. They love the movie, and they literally recorded it over like 5-6 years and then ended up coming back 15 years later and finishing the film. It's just really cool. You meet Spielberg. So and really fun part of the movie is watching them like create the special effects and come up with these these ways as children with like these huge imaginations and come on. So it's a pretty cool documentary, and we're gonna get Eric Zala on the line. Eric, how's it going?
Hey guys, good. How about yourselves?
Not too bad. That's Mike. I'm Scott, and thanks for giving us a few minutes here.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Mike. Hey, Scott. Good to meet y'all. Yeah, I know how it is. Technology, double-edged sword. So take your time, y'all.
Oh no, we're good to go. We are good.
Oh, you're good. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So Eric, like a lot of times, sometimes. The way we come up with ideas for guests, a lot of times I'm a big documentary guy. I put on documentaries all the time, and then I'm always like, this guy would be cool, this guy would be cool. And that's kind of how I picked up on you. I was going through Prime or Hulu, I forget which one it was on, and your documentary came on, and I found it fascinating. So
thank you.
So I'm glad we got the hook up here. But
likewise, good to meet y'all, and thanks for appreciating our story.
Oh, I loved it. So I guess my first question to you is, you know, we'll get into the whole story, but like after that documentary happens, were you like working on other projects at the time? Like, did it just hit at a at the right time? Like, okay, now I'm revisiting something I did years and years and years ago, and I put off a bunch of stuff you're working on, or?
Oh, well, I mean, I had kind of submerged that part of my life for a while,
right.
You know, Raiders, you know, it was, we finished in 89 after spending 7 years from age 12 to 19, sat on our bookshelves for about 14 years, was discovered by accident in 2003. And then, quit my job for the first time, my high-paying corporate job for the first time. It was Electronic Arts back then, to pursue film projects. And but at the time that the documentary folks approached us, and Chris revisited the idea of doing the airplane scene, and I had but to answer your question, no, I was I'd sacrificed a lot for the corporate job that I was currently embroiled in at the time. Life comes a knocking, you know,
right,
when it does. And I just sacrificed a year and a half away from my wife and kids to put food on the table for this job. And now I find myself in a situation where it's a culture where it's not cool for people to be away, even if it's slow. And so it was a real kind of tightrope walk of a time, but no projects, no creative projects at that time. Now, though, I find I'm able to dream again.
Right.
But yeah, not so much then, until, yeah, the airplane scene came around.
Mm. It's kind of a good story that you forgot it and all, because I hate to be interviewing. You're like, every night I go to the bar and brag about this movie I did when I was 19 right. years old. And I said to myself, one day they're going to call me. And then I went back to Bert and I'm like, I told you, Bert.
No, I've moved on since 89. Happy to say.
That's good. That's good. Mike hasn't, but it's good to.
No. I'm still thinking about that T-ball tournament I won, man. I keep bragging about it, man. Nothing but good times. So, why don't you tell us a little about what 12-year-old Eric was kind of like before the proposal of you want to make a movie? Where, do you have any inspirations about movies? Are you still dreaming about life? Are you just like on the basketball court and like, I guess I got a spare 10 minutes?
Well, you know, as referenced in the documentary, you know, big shocker, kind of geeky kid back then, didn't know a lot of girls. So no, not much of a player, truth be told. I know. But yeah, no, at age 12, it was when Chris gave me a call, looked me up in the white pages. Wow, dating us there. Mm. Zayla is an unusual last name, thankfully. I had borrowed his Raiders Lost Ark comic book on the bus beforehand. But prior to that, no, I got bit by the film bug actually before Chris called me. As covered in the documentary, we do a class film, Survivors Have It Tough, which if you spell out that acronym, you know, of the name, you get the in joke.
Ah.
Too hot for the doc.
How did you even hide that from your classmates? Or did everybody know by like the first the first second you made it?
Thankfully, we're blessed with a teacher, Milton Bienvenu. God bless Milton. He was a bit of a rebel, renegade, at this private school, that elementary school that I went to and met, where I met Chris and Jason on the bus. And he had this mischievous quality, and yes, it was the whole class's in joke. I'm amazed we pulled it off. Now the truth can be told.
Oh man.
Yeah. Glad to have that off my chest.
So like you fall in love with Indiana Jones and like many a kid did, but how does it go from the idea of just, okay, I really love this movie not even to like, okay, let's make a skit about Indiana Jones, or let's make a try to create a scene. How did it go from the idea of, okay, I love this guy, this movie, to okay, let's do every single shot?
Well, credit or blame for the original concept goes to Chris, and I think credit ultimately. If you know, as I'm fond of saying, if Chris had picked, I don't know, Smokey and the Bandit, as awesome as a movie as it is, we probably wouldn't be talking. But as it is, Chris, you know, the whole idea started with Chris's idea. He fell and saw Raiders at age 11 when it came out in 81. And he just became obsessed with the idea of reenacting his favorite hero, fighting the bad guys, getting the girl on screen. But film is even evident to an 11-year-old, a collaborative process. So, but he remembers this kid that was in this class film, me, doing my best Gestapo agent, you know, thing, you know, thinly veiled from Tote in Raiders. And that was all it took. Looked me up in the white pages and, yep, history is born. So it was Chris's idea, right, to answer your question.
So how do we go about the process of beginning to sound like who had the camcorder, who was figuring out making props, who was there, like an actual deliberation, or were you just literally like kids and all? It's like, all right, I want to do this scene now.
All right. So to put it into context, we were 11 and 12 respectively, Chris 11, me 12.
Right.
And kids don't know what's impossible, you know, or perhaps to put it more accurately, they lack the self-imposed limitations we as adults put on ourselves of, oh no, that's, you can't remake a $22 million movie on your allowance. So our naivete, you know, it was a strength, although, I mean, I'll be real, we naively thought we'd finish the whole damn thing in a summer. Oh my God. So it shows you how young we were when we got into it. And then, you know, 5 years in, it's like, well, it's too late to quit now. Little did we know we'd have another 2 years to go at that point. You know, but it is definitely an advantage to have that wondrous optimism of youth that to start us. And thankfully we stuck with it long enough to have the fortitude of later years to actually cross the finish line. So Chris is a starter. He came up with the idea. I'm the finisher. I kind of drove us, you know, to completion.
Now, if you're filming something at 11 years old and then even like mindset changes around 16, 17 years old, were you like, okay, the scenes from when we were 11 are like, did you guys attempt to go back and redo things, or were you just like, we're sticking to the original shots and that's it?
Well, I should clarify, even though it took us a total of 7 summers, the range that you see on screen,
right,
which is substantial, you know, which can cover both before and after Chris's voice broke.
Right.
Before and after we could grow our own stubble as opposed to fake it with Vaseline and ash from my mom's fireplace. You know, despite that range, it's only 4 years. I'll explain. So year one, it was all pre-production. We never got to shooting. Summer year two, we shot, but we sucked. There's no nice way to put it. You know, the only shot we wound up keeping was the shot with me with my back on fire, which we didn't want to retake for obvious reasons. Literally the only shot from that entire goddamn first summer. And then summer two, we got good enough to start keeping our footage. So summer 3, 4, 5, and 6... And then the 7th year, we shoot the previous year's worth of footage. So 4 year span all told. And so it's more contained in actuality than the 7 years, still substantial. There's one part in the college scene that is shot after Chris's voice broke. It's right after the eyelids girl flashes the I love you. And all of a sudden our Indy has a first burst of testosterone and his voice drops several octaves. So
yeah,
you'll know when you see it.
Yeah, it's funny.
Punch him in the privates. Yeah. We need that scene. Yeah.
Sure.
This is method acting.
Temporary, film is forever.
Yeah, like, are you guys consciously aware that you're growing up during this, or like in your heads, we're kids, we look the same? Like, I think of like big productions, like a show like Stranger Things or something, like, you know, they're on season like 4 and it's taken a couple of years. And this all starts with kids. That's like a big problem they run into, trying to keep these kids young. Are you conscious of this? Or are you just like, we're the same, you know, it's another summer?
We are not conscious, you know, of it whatsoever. We just want to finish the damn thing. You know, I mean, meeting Spielberg, it's a pipe dream. Right. It's not a goal. And be like, hey, that'd be cool, right? Huh, yeah, come on, get back to spray painting hieroglyphics on my mom's basement wall on a Friday night growing up. No regrets, I gotta say. We just had no greater ambition than to just finish the damn thing. And that seemed lofty enough back in the day.
How serious are you guys on set making this? Cause I know you brought in like different kids for certain parts. Is it still like laid back? Hey, we're kids having fun. Or are you kind of, is somebody like, did it? No, this is the way it is. There's no humor in this. This is an action film. Get it right.
Well, you know, one lesson I had to learn through the process was some bedside manner, so to speak, as director. I maybe started off like that, serious, but probably the only one. I think I learned and grew by the end of it. We were kids, as you might expect. And it was like, from the standpoint of the director, it was like herding cats.
So how many kids cried because of you? What was the number around?
Oh no, I didn't yell at anybody, but I probably yelled, to be honest, to my long-suffering little brother Kurt, who appears in the credits. There's a drinking game, you know. Every time Kurt Zale appears in the credits, take a drink. Nobody's sober by the end. Anytime some neighborhood kid flaked, guess who got called into service? Kurt, so there's that. The spectrum of commitment ranged from folks like Alan Stenham, who played Sala, and Angela, who played our Marion, who had no idea that she's making multi-year commitments by saying yes, that fine Sunday morning. To kids that are like, one time showed up, nope, it rained, that sucked. Never again.
Yeah.
I had this dog-eared list of neighborhood kids that I would cold call like a telemarketer. Come on, Jimmy, it'll be fun. You want to be an Arab? Come on, and everything in between. All in all, about 60 neighborhood kids, ranging from like diehards to flakes.
Now,
many hands.
Those like, if people have never seen this documentary, it does go into great detail about some of the, the special effects, if you will, that you guys pulled off, and figuring out how to use a dog to become a monkey, figuring out how to make the boulder. Highly enjoyed the one where you were talking about casting a molding on someone's face and almost.
Closest we came to dying. Thank you.
So the documentary goes a lot into that, but is there like, give us some of the, for people who haven't seen it, some of the things that you guys had to kind of create, especially like the big things. We think of boulder, we think of the animals, we think of gunfight. Like there's a million things you had to come up with at such a young age.
Yes, indeed. It turns out, there's a good reason why we didn't finish that first summer. To remake the motion picture Raiders of the Lost Ark shot for shot, there's many fan films stretching back to 1930s, even, by the way. We're far from the first, but there's very few shot for shot remakes as we are. And in this case, our most challenging prop, the boulder. Our most challenging location, find a suitable location for the Sahara Desert with sand dunes in southern Mississippi in the 80s. Getting an authentic World War II submarine. In this case, it took 3 years of asking. Eventually, we wore them down. One of the lessons I tell young kids is, don't be afraid to ask. You'd be surprised on what you can get if you just ask and are a tenacious mofo.
Yeah.
It's our podcast half the time.
Right.
When you go through this whole 7-year process and you say you're done minus the airplane scene, like, what is your feeling? Is you're like, it's done. On to the next moment in life? Are you pressing for that one missing scene? Like, is there a finite moment after that 7 years?
That's a difficult question. Well, I mean, life is never what you expect. You know, I, of course, 7 years, you spend your, it can, something that you start at age 12 and you don't finish until you're a sophomore at NYU Film School. That's a serious thing. And so it's long enough to form expectations. I imagined our final shot. We'd all be hugging each other and crying. In reality, as covered in the documentary currently streaming on Hulu, it's anticlimactic. Chris is cranky, says, great, now we have to edit this fucking thing. he and Angela dating throughout the, you know, I was like, you know, this can't end well, you know, but that didn't derail us. But nevertheless, it's not what we expect. We finally finish and have an editing room mutiny, actually. The bonus features of the documentary cover this, but we almost falter over when we're nearly over the finish line over how much work to give the sound. And Alan's book covers this, but we managed to finish it through and have a hometown come together again, a bit of serendipity. Last Crusade comes out in 89, and I call up Chris, and we patch things up enough to give the sound its proper work and have a proper hometown premiere. And Jason, the third musketeer, flies in from Vacaville, and we rent a white limo prom, prom limo, and have a proper hometown premiere. And for the first and likely only public screening of Raiders of the Lost Ark, the adaptation, in August 89. And I figure this is probably it. And we're cleaning it up the next year, but the next morning. But it's life has other plans. And 14 years later, for the uninitiated, 6 degrees of separation copy falls in the hands of Steven Spielberg, the director, of course, of the original Raiders, who writes us of our very loving and detailed tribute. And my wife took photographs of me in various stages of opening the letter from my childhood hero, which I'm looking at right now, framed. And, ever I'm having a rough day, that brings me comfort. It's been an ongoing thing where I think I'm going to close the book, and then there's the Vanity Fair article, and then there's the book, and then most recently the documentary and the airplane scene. And now there's interest afoot of there being a dramatic narrative telling of our Raiders story. So
I'm just going to ask you that. Was there ever a thought into, because I could see a show or film about kids trying to make the film, like you could see it.
Yeah, you know, it's a true story. There was Super 8. A lot of folks found the subplot of the kids making their own movie reminiscent of our own story, and more interesting than the A plot of the government conspiracy and Alien. Be Kind Rewind, also Son of Rambo, and other things. And but maybe now the planets are aligning with we live in a time where there's going to be another Indiana Jones film, right? As right. we speak, Harrison Ford, of course, is filming soon in Sicily. That's pretty wild. Even if Spielberg isn't directing and Lucas isn't involved, we'll have the John Williams score and James Mangold. Color me optimistic.
Yeah. So tell us about, like, I mean, if you haven't seen the documentary, a lot of it goes into the last scene. But all these years later, was it a hard process to get everyone on board to, okay, we're going to do this as adults now and figure this giant scene out and commit to it? Like, I feel like that had to be a process in itself. Like, okay, we're going to do this now.
Again. Oh, man. Yes. Great question. And yes, so true. There are some things that didn't change from when we were kids versus when we were adults. And, you know, Gone Are the Endless Days of Summer, where right. you've got complete freedom. Mm. Whereas as adults, every single day is like gold. Every, you know, right. at least in my mm-hmm. kind of situation that I found myself, finally found a time where it was, you know, during E3 where everyone's away from their email. And so it was safe. But that was real different back from when we were kids. Now, one thing that didn't change back from when we were kids, we have much greater resources. There's fans now of who we did. We're no longer the dorky kids in high school that, hey, Zayla, you ever finish that Raiders thing?
Right.
This next summer. Yeah, that's what you said last summer, loser. Now, those same guys are like, hey, can I help out? And it felt like we had the entire town behind us when doing the airplane scene, which would have been easier to do in Nevada where I was working at the time. But I don't know. We felt like we had to do it back in Mississippi, back when we originally did. So, yeah, to answer your question, we reached out to cast Angela. Our Marion said yes. She's in Minnesota, single mom, and she had some hesitation, but ultimately was really, really amazing and set her life aside to become Marion again. can you imagine? And I still wanted Jason to be involved. It didn't work out. Jason wanted a different vision for the airplane scene. We committed to doing it the same way Spielberg did, which was, a full scale airplane. And we of the $58,000 that we raised on Kickstarter, 22 went towards hiring a professional pyrotechnician. We told our wives, all right, no more setting myself on fire right. or putting nearly suffocating in plaster. we're playing it safe. What could go wrong? Yeah. But of course, if you've seen the documentary, you know the answer. Man make plans and God laughs.
So when it's all said and done, as you brought up, you got a letter from Spielberg and then you got to the meet him. When you realize that you're meeting this gigantic film, are you preparing for what you're gonna first say to him? Are you sitting back going, oh, I'm gonna go in there, cool. What's up, Merrick? I'm a filmmaker. How's it going, Steve?
Or are you kidding? I dispensed with any pretense of playing it cool. I mean, so, all right. Like I said earlier, this. We never dare dream of meeting the man himself. I mean, goddamn, right. Steven Spielberg, Jaws. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah, yeah. So, couple little indie films. Yeah,
small things. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, you might have heard. Anyway, we are the Vanity Fair article has come out. It's 2003 or 2004 at this point, and we're in Los Angeles, Chris. Jason and I on the Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn and the Today Show with Matt Laurie. And we get a call from our agent. Yes, we actually have an agent in the wake of the amazing article by Jim Wendolf in Vanity Fair that kind of broke it before Harry Knowles' review. He says, yeah, Steven Spielberg wants to meet you tomorrow at noon at Amblin. And as I recount in the documentary, I'm like fine throughout this point, but this is my childhood hero. Yeah. Anyway, the next day we drive onto the Universal lot in the valley and through those Jurassic Park gates into this sort of southwestern Adobe complex that is Amblin. Walk in, I say the most absurd words I've ever uttered in my entire life to the receptionist. Hi, we're here to see Steven Spielberg.
Yep.
And have it not be a joke. And it's, we sit on couch, leather, I recall, ushered it into a courtyard, up steps into a conference room where honorary degrees for Spielberg, are on the walls, the Thallenberg Award, and through the door we hear that voice that I've come to know through countless reviewings of the PBS documentary The Making of Raiders Lost Ark. You know, that voice, yeah. Steven Spielberg, and the door opens and the man himself walks in. Older, grayer than I've seen him, but still unmistakably Steven Spielberg, saying, "Hey, boys." We're like 30 something at this point, and yeah. We're the boys, you know.
Yeah.
We talked for him for like 45 minutes. I talked to him, I sit no more than like 4 feet away from him, and we talk about everything from Raiders, movies, life. He gave us some really amazing, essential advice as filmmakers. I mean, just find a story that you like and tell it really well. So basic, right. But so essential. And at the end, the Raiders box set had just come out, and I was lamenting the lack of the deleted scenes. And I'd known of this scene with Saul is nearly executed by this German soldier. And he said, "Well, I've got some deleted scenes in my office on a camcorder tape. Do you guys want to see it?"
What? Like, nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. Wow.
5 minutes later, I'm sitting on a couch in Spielberg's office watching what Chris and I and Jason, what are feels like only the cast had seen back in the day. And it was amazing, including outtakes from Temple of Doom, including Streisand. Barbara Streisand showing up on this set of Temple of Doom dressed as a thuggy guard. Google it. There's I won't take your time with it, but it's real. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Anyway, we stumbled out in the sunlight after he granted us our request for a photo, wondering what the hell happened here. It's really amazing to meet your childhood hero and find that, you've chosen your hero as well.
That's awesome. Mm. Eric, your story is so amazing, and it's cool to see that you've gone on to do other things, and that the Raiders film is able to be watched and you're still kind of getting attention, and people like even like us, we're reaching out to you to kind of hear your story and whatnot. If people want to check out the film, the documentary, what you've been up to, where are the various places they can go and check this? There's kind of a lot to it. There's a lot of pieces to it. So where can they go?
Thanks. Yeah. After the documentary, a lot of people, their only complaint usually is, well, great, I've seen a documentary about this fan film, and where do I see it? You can't exactly buy it at Walmart or on Amazon even. The only place to buy it really is at theraiderskids.com, theraiderskids.com. There we've got it on Blu-ray. I just ran out of DVDs, but we hope to restock soon, including this handsome t-shirt with Dorky Eric as Belloc, as you can see.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you. A documentary about this these wacky three Mississippi kids that spent seven summers doing a Shot for Shot remake of Raiders Lost Ark in the 80s. Also, my storyboards that I drew 6 inch and 2 from memory are available there too. So, anyway, it's remarkable. We don't do any advertising, but folks seem to find us.
Yeah, yeah.
Final question for you: if 12-year-old little Eric, they if you were dreaming up this film, you're like, "Nah, let's not do Raiders." What would have been the movie?
Oh, all right. I that's tough. Scott, I don't know that, Mike, I don't know that there's any movie that really still sounds as fun as Raiders. This might sound kind of weird, but
Boogie Nights could have been fun.
All right. I grant you that, but it was, that didn't come out till later, to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair. Otherwise, yes, I might have gone there.
Yeah.
And life would have been very, very different.
The neighborhood would be a little weird, too. But,
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Things work out for the best. But, the weird thing is remaking Raiders of the Lost Ark shot for shot sounds fun to me even now. Mm-hmm. And I've done it.
Time to do the other films.
You know, we joked about that we would follow up our credits, Chris, Jason, and I, about doing some kind of like teaser of like Indiana Jones on the Temple of Doom, the adaptation.
Oh God!
But you know, where are you going to find an elephant?
All you got to do is ask. Remember?
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
By yourself, you can find an elephant.
Some kid out there, take up the torch. Keep it going, kids.
So
anyway, thanks y'all for appreciating our unusual childhood.
I love it, man. Eric, thanks so much for your time, man. Your story is fascinating, and thanks for joining us for a few minutes.
It was fun, y'all. Thanks. Okay.
All right, Mike, Eric Zela. If you were to go with a film that you would want to create shot by shot,
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do?
I was kind of thinking this while we were doing the interview. I mean, the boring answer would be Star Wars, because a bunch of people would say that. So a kind of a unique one I think I would love to do is The Running Man, with nice. Schwarzenegger, Richard Dawson.
All right. And you're thinking clearly that you're going to play Schwarzenegger.
I mean, clear. Scott, I've been running, so I mean, clearly, I should be the running man.
So, in your eyes, your lead role, jacked, world famous, icon. You see yourself as the Schwarzenegger role.
I mean, I've looked at every person I know. And none of them compare to my capabilities of making this role happen. Now, I will give you the role of Richard Dawson. I just fear that when you hit that button and shoot me out in that like bobsled rocket where I might end up, I fear you might be like talking to the production people where the brakes won't be working as good as I would hope.
Yes, especially when you're in your Schwarzenegger costume, which is a hilarious way to die.
Yeah. I'll be like totally clayed up, and I'll be working on the Schwarzenegger accent, which I'll save for the film before you ask me to do it right now.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I got to save it for the film, Scott. We got 7 years to finish it, so we'll have to figure it out. But I think that would be the kind of coolest thing with the action and just the over the top characters. I think that would be the bomb.
All right. I say, I will bankroll you $25 to get this thing moving.
Ooh. How much does a film cost? Would it cost them a few thousand?
Who knows? You got an iPhone now, you know? All those commercials where they show film shot on iPhones, what do you need money for?
I mean, I guess we would need sets. I don't really have things, or costumes. I need a guy who can ice skate with a razor blade stick to try to chase me.
I wouldn't mind doing that. I wouldn't mind chasing you on ice skates.
Or you could be Electro, the guy who was like the opera singer who shot electricity
isn't that Jonathan Antoine?
Ooh.
Yeah, we can cast him.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is rolling. You got a pad and paper? We got to write some of this down.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, let us know how the pre-production meeting goes next week, and you know, you'll be on your way. We could release it on our site. You know,
okay. We have a site.
I mean, we got a Facebook. The kids still use that.
All right. Well, I mean, first thing in the budget, make a site. Okay. First step. All right. First note in there. Good job.
I mean, you could double down, do Blade Runner. You could you could move yourself on to like I don't know, Terminator. You could kind of do all these Schwarzenegger movies.
All of them?
Oh, all of them.
I'm gonna do twins just so I can meet up with Danny DeVito.
Exactly. Or just have a very short friend who has to play Danny DeVito.
I'd rather do Danny DeVito, if I can be brutally honest. I mean, I know we'll have to figure out the budget, but if I choose between friend who's short and Danny DeVito, I think I lean towards Danny DeVito.
I've met Danny DeVito before, so there you go. 6 degrees of separation.
No. Really?
Yeah. My friend worked at a liquor store, and he was selling vodka that he was – no, it was a limoncello. Danny DeVito limoncello, and you just had to buy a bottle of his limoncello, and it was like a fan meet and greet kind of thing. And he sang the Troll Tall song to me while taking a picture.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. Not a lie. If I could look, I got to find the picture somewhere. You'll find my ex-wife cropped out of it, but there is a picture out there somewhere.
You should have just cropped Danny DeVito on top of your wife so you could have had two Danny DeVitos in the picture with you.
That works. That works. Or it was funny, as Eric was talking, the whole time I was picturing when Mac and Dennis make Lethal Weapon, you know, or with the butt double and the when White Murdoch
it was light skin Murdoch and versus dark skin Murdoch.
Yeah.
And then they had the shower scene
Mac's running off,
makeup was just running down.
Yeah, I'm ready for that show to come back. I don't even know if there's a release date yet. Probably after the new
one. Haven't heard anything. Now think of it, like everybody gives Robert Downey Jr. the last person who got away with doing blackface. That episode might have came out after Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, and some of their episodes are blocked from Hulu. It's ridiculous. Like one of the episodes where Dee does all the characters, like the Spanish character, and the they blocked it out because it's people. You can't see it. It's a joke. You can't see it. It offends so many people.
The House of Mouse rules Hulu right now. So what can you do?
Yeah. See what they're doing. The next step is they're going to rule your bathroom.
I'm trying my best, Scott. It's
trying your best. That doesn't sound like it's been locked down.
Well, there's nothing in there, and I'd still putting up the good fight. And then every time we like go to a play, like a comic book store, and it's like, oh, there's some. This is a Yoda candy bowl holder. Oh my god!
Uh-huh.
Oh, we're running out of room in the kitchen, honey.
Yeah.
Where can we go? And I'm like, no.
You mean the kitchen that you said would never have any Disney stuff in it?
No, I don't think it was the kitchen, because we brought up this conversation before.
You said there will be one room in the house that she was allowed to have Disney stuff in, and it cannot enter into any other living space.
I don't think I put it as allowed, as in take over the room with Disney stuff.
We should start with a light sprinkle.
Yeah. I mean, the living room already, the Halloween stuff is out, and new Disney Halloween wreaths are out there. Next subject, please.
Cannot wait to one day I Google top 50 Disney houses in the state, in a country, and the Georgian Disney house is like top 10.
Ask.com does not have me on that list right now, Scott.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to give it a couple years, but there's definitely going to be some picture of you and your wife like waving in your front lawn with like all these Disney blow-ups and lights in the background.
She'll be waving. I'll have my head down in shame. I'll be like, I'm going in the basement to make the Running Man.
Got a big scene today. So remember like, I don't know. Maybe it was like 3 months ago. We had a pretty, like, we almost had a whole half of a podcast talking about barbecue etiquette.
Yes.
Yeah.
We really deep dove
into that. So
we were going into the numbers of hot dogs, hamburgers, the proper size to make it a proper barbecue. Yes.
So I got to put that etiquette into work this weekend.
Ooh.
I
finally had. I haven't had really, like, I've had friends over, but not like friends together over. I've had like two here, two. Some people haven't seen the house. You know, COVID happened. My wife was pregnant. Like, so everything since we moved in has kind of been kind of, you know, well, we'll do it. And then we were supposed to do it in July, and I was doing a tiling project that took absolutely forever, and the house was in shambles. So I finally got to do it. Now, we're going to see if this checks out in the different categories, Mike. Okay. So it was actually like a two-part barbecue, because the first part, I have a fantasy football league with friend couples of mine. So it's all right. Six couples. Each couple has their own – they have two teams. Like, everybody has their own team, but there's six women and six men in the league. And we started with the draft at my house. So we did a live draft.
Interesting.
Yeah. So here's how I prepped the draft. I bought the draft board. I bought these stickers that have each player's face and name color coordinated by their position on their bye week. I printed out a list, kind of like a cheat sheet for people, because, like, not everyone in the league is like super, you know, super knowledgeable about football, or they only played 1 year or so. So it's a little easier when you have something to look at. And here's the top tier guys at every position. I had pens for everybody. I had seats for everybody. I even had a friend in the league help make a trophy out of an old paddle where the head of the oar is where the winners go. And then he made the bottom of the oar into a large set of balls, and that's where the loser goes. So the loser,
and you're going to smack the losers on the ass when they lose, right?
Yeah. So the balls, you don't want to be on the balls.
No.
And my friend Jackie had to take a picture with the balls. And my wife even made a cake that said "Yay Football" on it. So that was first part of the draft, and I will tell you, I was doing the commissioner job so deep that, like, I was telling people to call the numbers, and I was telling people who's up and come put your stickers up, that I didn't even like my team at the end, because I was missing so many people who were drafted and, like, not drafted. Like, I'd be like, oh, I want to my next pick, I'm going to take, I don't know, let's say
Daniel Jones.
Yeah, right. No, Daniel Jones does not get picked up in fantasy. Let's say I was like, oh, I'm going to get Terry McLaurin with this pick. And I would start going to other people's picks, and then I'd pick somebody, and then a couple picks would go by, and I hear, like, McLaurin. I'm like, damn it, that was the guy I was supposed to say, and I forgot. So I even, how you selected the draft picks, I took beer pong cups, or red cups, and put the picks on the bottom of the cups. And as people were coming in, you were allowed to shuffle the cups any way you wanted, and whatever cup you hit, that was your pick, what was on the bottom. Ooh. So how am I ranking as far as hospitality on the draft part of the barbecue?
I mean, it's very festive, very fun.
Yep.
Now, was this a cake from scratch or a box cake from your wife?
Scratch cake.
Ooh,
well, I mean, like, is a scratch cake considered like, I mean, she, like, had
icing.
You're using
flour, you're using eggs, you're not just opening up a Duncan Hines, pouring it in, and then adding
oil. I think she made the cake part and then had store-bought icing, if that's
okay. That's fine. That's okay. In fact, if she made icing, I would dock you points. That's overkill. That's just showing off.
Also had chips and salsa and guac on the table, so there was food going. Okay.
All right. So I dig this. I dig this a lot. Fun fact, though, I've never been into fantasy football.
I know.
I did it once and just never got it. I got an offer even from an old friend. She's coming down to Atlanta in December, and she was saying, oh, you know, my hubby's got an open spot in fantasy football, and I'm like, appreciate it, but...
I'm kind of surprised at that, honestly, because you follow the game pretty close. You seem to know the players on many, many teams. I think maybe if you got in the right league, you would enjoy it.
I guess I just never had fun, like, tracking every single player. I just enjoy watching the game. Like, even when I make bets, I'm one of those guys, like, if I bet you, like, the football team's facing the Giants in week two, if you're like, oh, how many points I get? I'm like, no, I'm a straight better.
Right.
Yeah. Winner, maybe, takes the money. That's just the way I am.
And maybe if you got into the right league, you might enjoy it at this time. If you had fun trash talk, it's a lot easier now with the apps and stuff like that. You kind of have it as you're watching the game, or Red Zone really makes it kind of fun, you know, because you get to see all the scoring. But yeah, so I'm in a couple leagues. I enjoy fantasy football quite a bit. Now, okay, so beer selection. I bought I went and bought a variety pack of beer. I bought like four different kinds of wine. And then I also got a keg of Dogfish Hazy O, which we tried here on the show. And I had that in a kegerator. Ooh. So outside you could pour your own beer. You know, you could bring your own beer because I had the cooler going. Then I also had a nice cooler of water and normal people drinks. So
don't serve water. What's wrong with you?
What's crazy is I bought 40 waters and they were all gone. Like, I went to go get one and they were all gone. I'm like, damn, should have went more on the water.
Ooh.
Yeah. Deduction. Maybe I got a deduction there. All right. So then the food starts pumping. And now everybody brought stuff. So there was already wings, and my friend brought like Filipino noodles, and someone brought like dips. Now I went with, I always told you, you got to have hot dogs. You got to have hamburgers. It's just, because if you don't have them, people are going to walk in and go, it's Labor Day and I want a hot dog off the grill.
Yeah.
You know? So,
just by rule.
Now, I like to take the hot dogs, and I like to, I don't know if you ever had these when you were a kid, I like to cut the three slits in the top and then also butterfly the end so they kind of open up when you cook them. I don't know if you are, and I had them all pre-cut. I cooked probably close to 40-something hot dogs, probably ended up with about 25 leftover hot dogs. So I way overshot the hot dogs. But that was good, though. That was good because as we talked, I started to do what I normally do. I would, after a couple beers, I start to just pick at a hot dog here and there. Have one here, slurp a ween the next time, take a ween the next time. You know, I'm munching on them all day. I'm munching on them.
Yeah, just off my thought process. So 12 people in total?
There probably ended up being around 20 with kids afterwards. So
okay.
So I have.
So I guess that math is decent and all and at 12 I'm like 40, that's way old. That's like 2.5 per person.
Yeah
with people bring other food, that's way too much overkill. But it's on the cusp, maybe 35 I would
I think that's
kind of calculate to.
I'd have to look at the pack. It might have actually been 35. I don't know. So then I also had a nice big jug of pickles out there. Nice big jug of pickles. Ketchup, mustard, and mayo. Then
dill or sweet and sour, by the way.
Dill pickles.
Yeah. That's the way I am.
Not a huge sweet and sour guy.
That's nasty.
Yeah. That was something I liked when I was like 12 and never liked again. I don't know.
Never.
So then the next course is the burgers. I got the toasted buns. I got onions that I, you know, packed in foil, cooked onions. And then I had Boar's Head American cheese. You got to go American cheese or cheddar, if you will. And had a whole bunch of burgers. Started to go and cook the second sleeve of burgers. Realized there was a pile of burgers still on the table. I'm like, okay, I'll keep the second sleeve in the fridge. They currently are in the fridge. Okay. Third course, I marinated chicken on Thursday night. Did some real good chicken breast, like butterflied all the chicken. Had it marinating for two nights. Started cooking the chicken and ended up with probably two Tupperwares full of chicken left. Everyone's full at this point. And then I broke out the big dogs. I got two giant sirloins that I marinated for like 2 days and started cutting that up like kind of in thin pieces. And of course it was like a guy swarm when the steak came out and just making people finish it down to the last bit. I had so much leftover food that I actually went over a couple's house the next day, and another couple came over and we still had enough leftovers for the six of us and their three kids.
Okay, I would say, I mean, hosting, you did a great job. As for your numbers, I think you should have factored in, since everybody was bringing something, maybe cut down a little bit on.
But do you want to get?
Everybody wants a dog.
Do you want to get? Do you want to get caught with your pants down and not have enough food for people? That's my biggest worry.
Well, in this planning, if we're saying we're making this and everybody's bringing something, like at least 2 days before, I'm verifying what are you bringing, what's coming on. Yeah. Then that factors into my stuff right there. I mean, you did a good hosting job, but to have that much extra where you had to do a dual barbecue.
Yeah.
Afterwards, there's some rookiness to it. I mean, I'm giving you an A minus in total. You did some great work here, great variety, really brought it to town with the sirloin. I'm just concerned with the excess burgers and hot dogs here, where I can't give you a full A or even an A plus in this scenario.
May I add that I also had a very large speaker system set up with a whole playlist made for the night. That was kind of, we're not talking just a little wireless speaker. I had my setup from the comedy shows, the one speaker that I have left at the moment, kind of underneath the table, playing music, so the speaker wasn't even like out or a tripping hazard. So I would like to enter that into the equation.
Okay, were you playing your Tap House set during?
No, I did not play any comedy. I did not play any comedy.
You could have really distracted the other teams. Like, where's he going with this punchline? Hold up. And it's like, sorry.
Yeah.
You ran out of time. Sorry, I got Derrick Henry. Live with it.
Now, the night did end with me and two other guys just playing acoustic guitars and drunkenly singing very loud in the neighborhood. And I'm sure my single old neighbor lady probably really appreciated that, considering our houses are very, very close together. But, you know, once in a while, you gotta let loose. I'm giving myself an A+.
I mean, you did great work there. I'm just saying, but budgetary wise, I feel you had some holes in there, not factoring different things. You know, you're on the right path, kid, and I'll definitely start you the next time a holiday comes around. But just be cautious. You know? So, I don't want you to be like, dang, I can't get rid of all these hot dogs. You know, we're mid-October, and I've still got the Labor Day hot dogs in my fridge.
So much so that our friend Harry, who listens to the podcast, was there, and I don't remember what course I brought out or what I had on the grill, but he was like, "Oh, you weren't kidding in that episode that you were that you guys were talking about." So I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'll try to make it something good." But
it's still weird when somebody brings up your podcast. You're like, "Wait, you listened?"
No, no,
what?
Yeah, that's huh? You know, it's bad when you're surprised anybody listens. You're like, "Wait, what? What do you mean you listen to this thing?"
Yeah, it's always like the episode, you're like, you listen to that one? Wait a minute. Yeah, you know, I had D. Snyder a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I listened to Icelandic Penis Museum. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. We got a couple good comments on the Penis Museum one. A lot of people found it very fascinating. So, that's it, man. So I'm barbecued out.
Barbecued out.
I don't want to see a burger for like a week or two.
Understood.
Dog, but, I'm ready to now enter the fall, the football season, the nice weather. Hopefully it cools down a little bit, and ready to make more podcasts.
Speaking of that, before we go, we might as well say your bold prediction. Football season, go.
Good. I'm going to go. We're just going Super Bowl, right?
Sure, or if you want to bring up any other
prediction or anything. I'm going to go Rams-Chiefs. I'm going to go Rams-Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Chiefs getting back there for a third time. In my heart, I kind of think the Bucks are going to do it again, but for sake of something different, I think Rams and Chiefs might have enough to do it, obviously depending on Matthew Stafford, and he certainly has the weapons around him and the defense around him, and maybe that's just enough to squeak past Brady, but you know how it goes. You don't bet against Tom Brady.
You feel Stafford is like going up to his coach and like, "Coach, it's January and you're asking me to continue to play. I don't understand.
Right?
this is very awkward for me. You what? Playoffs? What?
Yeah,
Yeah, I would love to see the Bills, man. Love to see the Bills get to that next level and get to the Super Bowl. That would be something I'd love to see. I'll tell you one thing: it won't be the Giants. It will not be the Giants. No. So, we'll go Rams Chiefs. Why not?
All right.
What do you got?
I kind of agree with you. The Chiefs. I think they're a fleet team. I think it would be between them and the Bills to go in. So I'm going to go Chiefs and. No, I'm just going to put my balls out there.
No, please don't.
I'm going to say
not on the air.
Yeah, no. I'm usually very cautious. I don't
anything. No way.
Scott.
No.
The team with no name. The one that people are underestimating. The WFT will shock the world and hit the Super Bowl.
There's just no chance.
Got one of the best defenses in the league.
You do.
We got plenty of weapons. I mean, I'm a little worried about Curtis Samuel right now, but hell of a backfield, hell of an offensive line. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of speedsters on wide receiver. Fitzpatrick, when he's good, he don't make mistakes.
Uh-huh.
I'm putting it out there. Now, am I always right? No. One year I was on here, I said, Scott, I really like what the Browns are doing, and then they went 0-16. But I digress. Once in a blue moon, you gotta say, you know what? Enough's enough. It's been 20 years since about 20 years since I've seen a playoff win. 18, something like that. Why not? I love Rivera. I love what the team's doing. We're gonna maybe end the WFT with a Super Bowl, and maybe we'll call ourselves the WFT from here on now. Don't know. Don't care. That's what I'm saying. Deal with it.
If the Redskins go to the if the Redskins go to the Super Bowl.
Do you know the proper name?
Yes, I know. The Washington Redskins.
No.
If the football team goes to the Super Bowl, I will wear a Redskins jersey. I guess it doesn't really matter on the podcast. We'll have to think about that. We'll have to think about that for next
week.
We'll
think about something.
And if the Redskins miss the playoffs, you have to do something because that's at least some hedge of a bet.
All right. I'm down with that.
I can see the Redskins definitely making the playoffs, but
yeah.
Either in the wild card or the terrible division. So, but let's not bore people with football talk, so I'll go Rams Chiefs. Mike will go football team Chiefs. Wow. When's the last time anybody said that?
Well, since the name is only 2 years old, never.
Anyway, Mike, anything to promote before we roll?
Well, October's almost around the corner, Scott, so I'll promote Pumpkin Spice Whatever. We'll be back for season 6, if you believe it, Scott. Season 6. It will be on Facebook.com/DABURLS721. You can look it up. Michael Berlew, Random Stuff, 31 days. 31 pumpkin items, yet again, all unique, some from a place you're going to rub in my face, you know, somewhat in Orlando, Florida for a few days, but then other times back in my house, which we'll still have things from that place, but I digress. See me and my wife try a bunch of different pumpkin stuff and just have a little fun pumpkin spice, whatever, on Michael Berlew Random Stuff on Facebook.com.
I will promote one of my favorite comics, Mark DeMeo. He just recorded a comedy album, and it is dropping on September 14th, and it is called Bangers. So make sure to check that out. He's one of the funniest comics I've ever seen. The guy literally makes me laugh every single time I work with him. So check out Mark DeMeo, Bangers. That's it, guys. Please check us out on all the various podcast platforms. Interact with us. Follow on the social medias. And that's it. And you can catch us on AOL in the comedy chat room. Mike will be there, just a reigning champion, giving out free hours. So
yep, just killing it, man.
Yep,
that's what I do.
Just don't piss him off because he'll punch you. Guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
You can search for us on DuckDuckGo, Verbal Shenanigans. Thank you.